Section 2, The Great Depression. As you read, look for the events that led to the Great Depression, actions taken by the federal government to ease the depression, and vocabulary terms: Great Depression, credit, stock market, New Deal, collective bargaining, Dust Bowl, and Shelter Belt. The confident optimism of the 1920s gave way to despair in the 1930s as the United States and much of the world settled into what came to be called the Great Depression. The depression that farmers in Oklahoma and across the country had experienced for most of the 1920s gripped the other parts of the country in the 1930s. The 1930 U.S. Census numbers in Oklahoma didn't tell the story that was beginning to unfold. Oklahoma's 1930 population of 2,396,040 was an increase of over 300,000 from the 1920 census figure. The urbanization trend from the previous decade continued. 34% of the state's people lived in urban areas. Trouble brews. A number of factors combined to cause the Great Depression: an overproduction of goods, high tariffs on international trade, extensive use of credit, and stock market speculation. The overproduction of farm products was apparent in the early 1920s, causing many farmers to slow their spending. Many other people, though, rushed to buy the latest household items, radios, and automobiles, often on credit, a buy-now-pay-later option. International trade declined because of high tariffs, taxes, imposed by the United States and other countries. After World War I, some banks in America and in other nations made unwise loans in international markets, which caused an unstable international banking structure. The growing prosperity of the wealthiest Americans led to a rapid growth in the stock market, the place where shares of ownership, stock, in corporations are bought and sold, in the late 1920s. People and banks bought stock at high prices, believing the value of the stock would continue to rise. Stock prices in many companies increased rapidly, which fueled more investments. In the fall of 1929, however, investors began to lose confidence in the market and began selling their stock. Investors began to panic as the value of the stocks dropped dramatically. On Thursday, October 24th, investors tried to sell their stocks at any price. A small rebound occurred Friday before the market was closed for the weekend. Panic set in on Monday as trading got underway, and the fear continued the next day. On Tuesday, October 29, 1929, known as Black Tuesday, the stock market crashed and stock prices plunged. By the end of the day, thousands of Americans had lost everything. Many people were so far in debt they had no hope of recovery, and there were no programs to bail them out. Consumer demand for products dropped, which caused factories to close. Thousands of Americans were out of work. People withdrew their savings from banks, but sometimes the banks didn't have the money to give them. By March 1933, more than 5,000 banks across the country had collapsed. Oklahoma's plight. Oklahoma's economy centered around agriculture and oil. Already low prices for crops fell as much as 50% more in the early 1930s. By 1931, the price for cotton was down to 5 cents a pound, which didn't cover the cost of growing it. The price of oil dropped to a low of 15 cents a barrel. The depression affected everyone. People cut back spending on clothing and furniture. Cloth feed sacks were used to make clothing and quilts as people learned to make do, make over, or do without. Unemployment rose to an all-time high. The American Red Cross handed out emergency food supplies, and churches set up soup kitchens in the larger cities. a strong but controversial leader emerged to take Oklahoma through some of its darkest days. Alfalfa Bill. Democrat William H. Alfalfa Bill Murray won the election for governor in 1930 and assured voters he would equalize the tax burden and cut government cost. The legislature appropriated money to help provide for the basic needs of the people, emergency food rations and free seed. Murray led efforts to develop a national program for emergency relief. When Murray took office, the state was $5 million in debt. Efforts to reduce the debt included forming the Oklahoma Tax Commission, adjusting property rates, and reducing funds for public institutions. Murray often used National Guard troops and martial law to protect the state's interest, such as when he ordered all petroleum producers to shut down. Oklahoma and Texas wells had flooded the market, causing the price of oil to drop drastically. The governor placed Oklahoma's 3,106 wells under martial law until quotas could be developed for each well. He also met with Kansas and Texas officials to control production so prices would rise. The governor defied a federal court order that called for closing a free bridge over the Red River in favor of toll bridges. Murray argued that the court order hurt the public while toll bridge operators were protected. He ordered the National Guard to open both ends of the free bridge. However, the Texas governor ordered rangers to enforce the court order. Newspapers labeled the area a war zone. The standoff halted traffic on the bridge for several days until the Texas legislature and the bridge company dissolved the court injunction. In 1932, the colorful Murray was nominated at the Democratic National Convention as a presidential candidate. But Franklin D. Roosevelt of New York won the nomination and the presidential election. Murray continued to lead the state through the end of his term in 1934. The New Deal. Franklin Roosevelt had campaigned for a New Deal for the American people, and he and his wife Eleanor were committed to easing the burden of the Depression. The day after Roosevelt was inaugurated in 1933, he ordered all banks to close until they could be certified stable by federal reviewers. Roosevelt assembled a group of advisors from all over the country known as the Brain Trust to develop plans and programs to create jobs, strengthen the economy, and improve society. The series of laws passed by Congress came to be known as the New Deal. Most of the New Deal programs were known by their initials and were sometimes collectively called alphabet soup. The Civilian Conservation Corps, CCC, was established during Roosevelt's first month in office. CCC camps were set up around the country, and 250,000 unemployed young men quickly enrolled. The men were paid $30 a month and were required to send home $25. The CCC worked on conservation projects, constructed buildings and trails in state and national parks, installed telephone and power lines, built roads, fences, and furniture, planted trees, excavated archaeological sites, and fought wildfires. The Public Works Administration, PWA, built roads, buildings, and other public works projects. The Federal Emergency Relief Administration, FERA, provided federal funds for state and community relief efforts. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, insured individual accounts so people did not lose their money if a bank failed. Roosevelt directed several programs toward farmers, believing that a strong farming industry was vital to a prosperous nation. The Agricultural Adjustment Act, AAA, was intended to limit crop production and pay landowners subsidies for leaving some of their land idle. Although the intent of the AAA was to help farmers, it actually hurt the tenant farmers because the landowners were paid not to farm. Many tenant farmers then lost their jobs. Other farm-related programs were the Resettlement Administration, RA, the Farm Security Administration, FSA, the Farm Credit Administration, FCA, and the Rural Electrification Administration, REA. Few rural areas had electricity because it was too expensive to build and maintain power lines to a spread-out rural population. The REA program allowed people to form cooperatives to share the cost of bringing power lines to remote areas. The number of homes with electricity increased from 10% in 1930 to 25% by 1939. The Southwest Rural Electric Association at Tipton reported in 1939, quote, "Soon, community homes will be flooded with bright electric lights. The schoolhouse will be a much brighter place at night, making it possible for the audience to see the characters of the plays better and more pleasant for other activities of the year. The basketball players will not have to squint their eyes to be able to see the ball. There will be no bang-bang of the Delco generator or the whiz of the wind chargers. There will be no worry about your radio battery. You may just sit back and watch your brightness burn, listen to your radio, and pay your bill every month." End quote. The Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, was created in 1934 to regulate stocks and the stock market. The SEC watches for and punishes abuses involving stocks, such as insider trading, using information gained as an employee of a corporation to make a profit from stock trading, providing false information, and using borrowed money to buy stock. The Federal Housing Administration, FHA, was begun in the same year to provide home loans for low-income families. The Indian Reorganization Act, or the Indian New Deal, reversed the Dawes Act's mandate of dividing common tribal land and returned tribal self-government rights to Indians. The Second New Deal. Efforts for relief, recovery, and reform were continued in 1935 with additional federal programs. Labor unions were strengthened under the National Labor Relations Act, which provided collective bargaining, negotiations between a labor union and an employer over wages, benefits, and working conditions. The Social Security Act, one of the most significant long-term programs of the New Deal, provided retirement and old age benefits financed by payroll taxes. It also provided financial aid to children, the blind, and widows with small children, and it established state-based unemployment assistance. Additional unemployment relief was provided through the Works Progress Administration, WPA, and the National Youth Administration, NYA. The largest New Deal program, WPA, built 650,000 miles of roads, 78,000 bridges, 125,000 buildings, and 700 miles of airport runways. Almost 90,000 Oklahomans worked on 1,300 WPA projects, which also included art and writing efforts. Sometimes mistaken for WPA art, post office murals were created by artists working for the Section of Fine Arts in 1934. Public buildings, especially post offices, were chosen for the art since they were accessible to everyone. Some 14,000 artists produced murals, paintings, sculptures, and graphic arts around the country. The 32 murals in Oklahoma communities depicted the state's Indian and pioneer history. Stephen Mopope painted scenes of Indian life in Anadarko. Frank Long created Oklahoma Land Rush in Drumright. Solomon McComb's mural in Marietta was Chickasaw Indian family making pashofa, and cotton was featured in Joan Cunningham's work in Poto. The Dust Bowl. Oklahoma's weather runs in cycles, from periods of wet years to periods of dry years. In the early 1930s, the southeastern part of the country experienced a drought. By 1932, it had moved west to the Great Plains. Although three-fourths of the United States suffered from the drought, the hardest-hit region included the western half of Kansas, southeastern Colorado, the Oklahoma Panhandle, the northern two-thirds of the Texas Panhandle, and northeastern New Mexico. This area was called the Dust Bowl. The erratic weather of the plains made farming a challenge, but farmers adapted. Eventually, farmers removed the native grasses and their tangled roots in about a third of the plains by plowing. In their place, they planted seasonal crops. Farmers were encouraged to plant fence to fence during the war years. The drought, combined with thousands of hungry grasshoppers and rabbits, destroyed crops. Unrelenting strong winds blew away the fragile topsoil, creating massive dust storms. The ominous clouds of dust covered everything and found a way through the tiniest crack in a house. Sand drifts could hide a car or a fence. Health problems developed from breathing the dust. Much of the state was covered by darkening dust on April 10th and 11th, 1935. On April 14th, 1935, known as Black Sunday, the worst dust storm in northwestern Oklahoma occurred. The dark clouds of dust swirled along the ground and combined with atmospheric electricity from a cold air mass to lift the soil as much as 8,000 feet high. Accustomed to hard work and tough times, most of the farmers in the plains states stayed with their land. Some tenant farmers, some whose farms were heavily mortgaged, and some who grew tired of the relentless weather, left their homes in search of better conditions. Many from urban areas also packed up and left. In 1940, the United Provident Association reported a variety of people had left the state, including barbers, bookkeepers, cab drivers, carpenters, mechanics, miners, musicians, salesmen, teachers, waitresses, and many others, primarily from Oklahoma, Caddo, Muskogee, and Tulsa counties. Between 1936 and 1940, over 309,000 people left Oklahoma. Word of work available in California traveled fast, and many of the people leaving headed west on Route 66. Two men recorded the conditions of the displaced people. Author John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, the tragic drama of one Oklahoma family, caused the word Okie to be used disrespectfully for all migrant agricultural workers. The novel was strongly resented by most Oklahomans who felt it painted a derogatory picture of them. Woody Guthrie, born in the oil boom town of Okemah in 1912, was a keen observer of the world around him. Guthrie left Okemah in the early 1930s after the oil boom. He went to Texas, but soon followed many others to California in 1937. Guthrie wrote passionately of his many life experiences in songs and poetry. One of the folk singer's most popular songs, This Land Is Your Land, was written on one of his many cross-country trips. Life Goes On. While everyone was greatly affected by the Great Depression, life in the 1930s did go on. Oilman E. W. Marland, whose business headquarters and mansion were in Ponca City, was elected governor in 1934. Marland argued for conservation and aid programs, but the legislature opposed them. Marland did succeed in establishing the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, the Oklahoma Planning and Resources Board, and the Interstate Oil Compact. He also increased the state sales tax to 2%. Marland was succeeded in 1938 by Leon Phillips, whose primary agenda was to get the state out of debt. Phillips successfully pushed for a balanced budget amendment and another amendment that allowed women to run for any state office. Phillips spent the last part of his term mobilizing Oklahoma for World War II. In the middle of the Depression, Oklahoma lost two of its most beloved favorite sons, and the entire country was stunned. In August 1935, Will Rogers and Wiley Post were on an ill-fated aerial tour flying from Fairbanks to Barrow, Alaska, when they ran into fog and had to land. After getting directions to Barrow from Alaska natives, the pair had barely become airborne again when the motor failed and the airplane crashed near Point Barrow, killing both Rogers and Post. The Associated Press wrote, quote, "The lives of both the gentle master of the wisecrack and the champion aerial globetrotter were crushed out instantly as the impact drove the heavy motor back through the fuselage." End quote. Both houses of Congress suspended deliberations upon learning of Rogers and Post's deaths, and a period of national mourning followed. By the late 1930s, farmers were using more land conservation techniques, taking into account how a field was plowed and terraced and which lands should be left in grass. Shelter belts are rows of trees planted to anchor the soil and buffer the wind. The nation's first shelter belt was planted in March 1939 by WPA and CCC workers north of Mangum. Over 40 million trees were planted in 25,000 miles of shelter belts. Plans were put in place for dams and reservoirs to tame the swings between drought and flood. The Denison Dam across the Red River was designed for hydroelectric generation and flood control, and it created Lake Texoma. Construction was also begun on the Grand River Dam and the Altus-Lugart Irrigation Project. The attitude of several Oklahomans in the 1930s was not only can do, but can do better. George Failing invented a portable rotary drilling rig and over 300 tools for use in the petroleum industry. Some consider Bob Dunn, a musician from Beggs, as the father of the electric steel guitar. Sylvan Goldman developed the first shopping cart for his Piggly Wiggly supermarket in Oklahoma City. To help ease traffic congestion in downtown Oklahoma City, Carl Magee came up with the idea for a parking meter. Oklahoma City's first national center at 33 stories was the tallest building west of the Mississippi when it was built in 1931. Businesses that got their start in the 1930s included Tenor's Western Ware, John A. Brown, Warehouse Market, Cusack Meats, Leeway Motor Freight, TGNY Stores, Balliett's, and MG Novelty. Poverty, uncertainty, and unemployment contributed to a crime wave that spread across the country, and Oklahoma was right in the middle of it. Charles Pretty Boy Floyd and his partner, George Birdwell, committed a string of robberies before Floyd was gunned down in 1934. Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow often rode through the back roads of Oklahoma as they tried to escape the law. The Bloody Barkers, Ma Barker and her sons, Herman, Lloyd, Arthur, Doc, and Fred, were one of the more dreaded gangs. George Machine Gun Kelly's Life of Crime brought him to Oklahoma City, where he married Catherine Thorne. In 1933, Kelly and Albert Bates kidnapped wealthy Charles Urschel from his home at gunpoint. Urschel was released after his family paid a $200,000 ransom, and he provided clues to help the FBI find the kidnappers. Federal Bureau of Investigation Director J. Edgar Hoover took special interest in the case and assigned his top agents to the kidnapping. The case evoked the new Lindbergh kidnapping federal laws, enacted after the famous Lindbergh baby kidnapping, and it was one of the first trials to be filmed. Newsreel cameras recorded the trial in the packed courtroom, Kelly was convicted. Jazz wasn't born in Oklahoma, but our musicians helped it grow. The Blue Devils of Oklahoma City evolved into the Count Basie Orchestra. Other jazz artists included Jimmy Rushing of Oklahoma City, Howard McGee of Tulsa, and Jay McShann of Muskogee. Douglas High School graduate Charlie Christian used a single-string technique of playing the guitar. His style propelled the guitar from the rhythm section to being a lead instrument. Christian was a pioneer in the modern electric guitar sound, and he is credited with being one of the developers of bebop. Musician and songwriter Bob Wills relocated his western swing band, the Texas Playboys, from Waco, Texas, to bigger markets in Oklahoma, finally settling in Tulsa in 1934. Western swing combined the sounds of big band, jazz, pop, blues, and southern country music. The bustling, vibrant area from which so much creative talent in Oklahoma City emerged was known as Deep Deuce, or Deep Second. The African-American community began north of the North Canadian, now Oklahoma, River, as Sandtown when the area was opened to settlement. The growing community eventually moved north of the warehouse district of the city. Deep Deuce was the cultural and commercial hub for the African-American community. During the day, activity centered around the shops, restaurants, schools, theater, and law and medical offices. Music and jam sessions by Rushing, Christian, and many others filled the night air. That energy and atmosphere provided the backdrop for the early years of Ralph Waldo Ellison. Born in 1913 in Deep Deuce, Ellison wrote the best-selling Invisible Man, a novel about a young black man's journey. Ellison's love of the Deep Deuce jazz and music he grew up with inspired him to write several essays on musical topics. It was a time of extremes. Oklahoma weather in the 1930s ranged from a January 18, 1930 record low at Watts of negative 27 degrees Fahrenheit to the wettest February in 1938. 23 people at Bethany were killed by an F4 tornado on November 19, 1930, and 5 Oklahoma City people died when the North Canadian River flooded in June 1932. Another devastating flood occurred in Roger Mills County in April 1934 when 14 inches of rain fell in 6 hours. The ups and downs of the 1920s and 1930s served as a prelude to the 1940s and yet another global war. The events that were unfolding put to rest the idea that World War I was the war to end all wars. It's your turn. Number 1. What happened to the U.S. economy on Black Tuesday in October 1929? Number 2. Identify 4 programs designed to put people back to work during the Great Depression. Number 3. Name 2 men who publicized the plight of Oklahomans. The following is a summary of Chapter 14. The 1920s brought great economic, social, and cultural changes to both the United States and Oklahoma. Post-war demand for Oklahoma's natural resources, oil, gas, lead, zinc, and agricultural products, dropped sharply. A Red Scare swept the country and led to the re-emergence of the Ku Klux Klan. The Tulsa Race Riot of 1921 destroyed the prosperous black community of Greenwood in Tulsa, once known as the Black Wall Street of America. The 1920s saw a reoccurrence of the oil boom in several areas of the state, while other industries and agriculture declined. The aviation industry and an interest in flying expanded after World War I. The growing automobile industry led to changes in the American economy and lifestyle. Oklahoma politics were turbulent in the 1920s. The Great Depression of the 1930s devastated the United States and Oklahoma. Governor William H. Alfalfa Bill Murray led Oklahomans through the Depression. President Franklin D. Roosevelt was committed to easing the burden of the Depression with his New Deal for the American people. The Social Security Act was one of the most significant and long-term programs of the New Deal. In the 1930s, the Great Plains experienced a devastating drought that led to the area being called the Dust Bowl. Between 1936 and 1940, thousands of Oklahomans, hoping for a better life, left for California, traveling west on Route 66. Two Oklahoma heroes of the 1930s, Will Rogers and Wiley Post, were killed in a plane crash in Alaska in 1935. The attitude of Oklahomans that they could do better was evident through inventions, new businesses, and new kinds of popular music.